You're listening to the Cabinet of Curiosities. I'm your host, Sarah Troop. This week's episode, A Deed Without a Name. Calls for harm or evil to fall upon another are said to have been uttered by gods and mortals alike since the dawn of time. Even today, many people find the power of these elusive threats fascinating, alluring, and even useful. One curse in particular dictates the lives of millions of people all over the world. For many people, cursing others is a daily part of life. Don't believe me? What did you say to the last guy who cut you off on the freeway? Or the supervisor who took credit for your work? Yeah, I thought so. They're professionals, too. In every part of the world, in every culture, under many names. Curanderas, wise women, various priests and priestesses, medicine men, or charlatan psychics. In my neighborhood, there's one every few blocks, and new ones opening up all the time. Magic is a booming business. People, places, objects, actions, there are stories throughout human history of just about anything and everything being cursed. Some of the oldest archaeological finds are curses, beginning in ancient Greece and Rome. Most of these curses were inscribed on small sheets of lead that ranged in size from a business card to a playing card. In Greece, many of the curses were what is called a binding spell, which aims at binding or inhibiting the actions of a rival. Some are aimed at rival actors or musicians, some against rival lovers, such as this one. Bind Helen so that she is unsuccessful when she flirts or makes love with Demetrius. However, the vast majority of curse tablets seem to be connected to lawsuits. Bind the tongue of Andreas, who is to testify against me Monday. Some are so detailed and elaborate, it is clear that a costly, professional magician was hired. In such cases, you have a little lead figurine, with his hands tied behind his back, and his feet bound together, imprisoned in a little lead casket. And on each casket, a curse is inscribed. In order to empower or activate the curse tablets, it was believed that they had to be placed in the ground. Therefore, hundreds of tablets have been found in wells, cisterns, graves, or sometimes in temples or sites dedicated to Demeter. Even ancient legal systems took the curses very seriously. If a court felt that you killed someone with magic, you would be prosecuted for murder, and your sentence would be no different than if you had used a dagger. This tradition was carried on by the Romans. However, their curses were activated by water in lieu of earth, and specifically addressed to the gods. Oftentimes a magician, or a magical hitman of sorts, was hired for their advice on what was best to write on the tablet, to garner the attention and favor of the gods. Most of the Roman tablets found in baths or fountains were intended to curse thieves. But not only the thief, but their entire bloodline, with great specificity. May his bones turn to water, and all his children wither and die like leaves. Today, we still cast our wishes, or for some maybe even our curses, into fountains and wells. There are many objects, both common and rare, that are considered cursed. The making of a book was once a lengthy and laborious process. Books were few and precious. Therefore, it is no surprise that curses were called down upon those who would steal or damage a book. Inscribed in countless books are various curses, held over from a time when books were precious, and written words held power as much because so few could read them. For him that stealeth, or borroweth, and returneth not this book from its owner, let it change into a serpent in his hand, and rend him. Let him be struck with palsy, and all his members blasted. Let him languish in pain, crying aloud for mercy, and let there be no surcease to his agony, till he sing in disillusion. Let bookworms gnaw his entrails, in token of the worm that dieth not, and when at last he goeth to his final punishment, let the flames of hell consume him for ever. I sort of wish I had written this in a few of my books that were never returned. As for the more rare objects, let us turn our attention to the famous Hope Diamond, an unusually large and very rare blue diamond that was said to have been stolen from off of an idol in India. Those who dared to not only take it, but even so much as touch it, would suffer bad luck and death. The diamond came into the possession of King Louis XIV, who then passed it on to Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette, and we all know what happened then. The Hope Diamond was then borrowed by a government official for a state ball, and he was convicted of embezzlement and spent the rest of his life in prison, where he died. There was a princess who regularly wore the diamond. She was beaten to death by a Parisian mob. Over the next 16 years, the Hope Diamond went from owner to owner, including Jacques Collet, who committed suicide, and Russian Prince Ivan, who was murdered. In 1908, a Turkish sultan bestowed it on his favorite concubine, who he later stabbed to death. A gentleman had it next, until one evening his carriage overturned, killing him, along with his wife and infant daughter. Diamond and the accompanying curse then made their way to American tycoon Ned McLean. Vincent, his son, soon perished in a car crash, and a daughter died from a drug overdose. McLean's wife became a morphine addict, and McLean himself died in an insane asylum. 2 years later, the McLean family sold the diamond to Harry Winston, who, in turn, deeded it to the Smithsonian Institute, where you can view it through a very thick pane of glass. I wouldn't get too close if I were you. Sometimes, even words themselves carry a curse. How many of us as children believed that if we dared to utter Bloody Mary's name, it would cause her to descend upon us? One of the longest-running and widely accepted curses dates back to 1606, and Shakespeare himself is to blame. King James I commissioned a play from Shakespeare to be presented to visiting King Christian of Denmark in order to please King James, who harbored quite an interest in witchcraft and the occult. Shakespeare included into his play Macbeth what some believe to be actual spells and incantations. By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. open locks, whoever knocks. As the legend goes, there were some witches in attendance at the first performance, who took great offense at their sacred secrets being revealed, and placed a curse on anyone who might bring the Scottish play to the stage. Now, whenever the play is performed, or even the title of it is uttered in the theatre, the witches whose spells were appropriated are awoken, and it is they who are responsible for the plethora of tragedies associated with the play, starting with its premiere performance, when the actor playing Lady Macbeth took ill and came down with a fever and died suddenly. Shakespeare himself had to take over the role mid-performance. There are 5 centuries worth of stories, multiple onstage deaths, countless injuries, and even a riot in 1849 New York that killed 25 and injured 120, supposedly all due to rival support for 2 competing productions of the show playing on the same night. To believe or not to believe in the curse, that is the question. Then, of course, there is what might be considered the granddaddy of all curses, believed by many to be given to us all by God himself when he cursed first man Adam to toil and sweat to earn his bread, and first woman Eve, cursed to bear children with great pain. I, for one, would like to thank Eve for eating that apple, because knowledge is power, and I like power. Many, many thanks to Steve Troop for his help in editing the show, and greetings to Tiberius, who I do hope is behaving well. If you'd like to learn more about the subjects featured on the Cabinet of Curiosities, please visit us at our website, cabinetofcuriositiespodcast.com. We can also be found on iTunes, and you can even like us on Facebook. It's okay. We like you, too. I'm your host, Sarah Troop. Thank you for listening.